It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hey, guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic. When I can, I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
What up, Murder Machines? Red Fox here, and as per usual, we got a little ahead of ourselves with recording this week's episode. We had a great time catching up with Chris of the Geek Peek podcast, breaking down Hellraiser, a series that I'm not really all that familiar with. So we learned a lot of cool shit during this, and a little too much shit. We had a great time, and we're breaking it down into two parts. You're listening to Raising Hell, Part 1, featuring Chris of the Geek Peek podcast. We're reviewing the 2022 Hulu original Hellraiser. Hulu original movie, I guess. Hulu didn't make Hellraiser, guys. But it did for me, because I really didn't know much about the franchise before this. I learned more about the franchise during the recording than I did going into it. And I hope you guys do too. Did you know Hellraiser goes to fucking space? Well, tune in to find out more about that shit. But you're listening to Raising Hell Part 1, Part 2, coming soon. We'll see you at the end of the episode. All aboard the Murder Machine. Welcome back to the Super Slash Bros podcast. I am your host, Red Fox. And today, making his way down the mountain, we got returning Chris from the Geek Peek podcast.
Yoroslei. What up, y'all? What's good, man?
How long you been holding that one in? Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah. I was working real hard on that.
Oh, God. Throw that on a t-shirt. Throw that on a goddamn t-shirt. That's the Halloween Geek Peek 2023 t-shirt right there. You heard it here first. Welcome back to the show. As I said, I'm your host, Red Fox. This is my guest, Chris from the Geek Peek podcast. Fellow horror connoisseur and my secret lover. He may not be the final girl in this movie, but he's the final girl of my heart. And I'm so fucking excited to have you back on the pod. God damn it. Me and Chris do this thing where we get together once a year. And it's always right around this date.
Yep. And it's always an absolute fucking blast.
Yeah. Last time we recorded with Chris, we did Sorority Row. We recorded for a whopping 5 hours and some change. And literally, I think it was like actually, the episode itself was 3 hours long. 2 hours of us just drunk fucking around.
Yep. But just catching up, bro.
Oh, yes.
Catching up.
You guys wouldn't know. We've been talking for the last like hour and a half or so, just fucking around before we even got into this. I forgot we were even talking about a movie tonight.
But I forgot that we talked about Sorority Row last time, but I fucking love that. Hashtag justice for Chugs.
Oh, justice for Chugs. Bring it back. So, this week... Oh, I'm sorry. Quick housekeeping note here. Guys, now I know I said last week that we were going to pick back up on Myers Month. But to quote Eddie Guerrero, I lied, Holmes. We're actually going to be picking it up next week. We had a little bit of a scheduling conflict. No big deal. Relax. It's okay. It's all killer, no filler, because we're bringing you a new episode this week for Hellraiser 2022, straight to Hulu, how it should have been. And I even brought in the big guns. We got the cannibal himself, Chris, on the show. What else could you want? Also, if you follow us on Twitter at Super Slash Pod, you would have known that we skipped on another Michael Myers month this week. So that's on you. Chris, let's talk about fucking Hellraiser. Are you ready?
Yeah, absolutely. What I will say to the peeps out there who are like, oh man, I was really looking forward to more Myers month. No tears, please. It's a waste of good suffering.
Oh my God. All right, Chris, let's raise some hell. Hellraiser. Yeah. 2022, straight to Hulu. How did you feel about this fucking movie?
Okay. First off, when you say straight to Hulu, it doesn't have the same feel as straight to video, right? Like, this movie was, like, a pretty decent budget. Like, the effects work was great. The gore was there for sure. And, like, I mean, the acting was not the greatest, but, like, it didn't take me out of the film, which is honestly all I need from a horror flick.
Right. I think cinematographical, yeah, that's the word we're using, cinematographical, I think it was shot beautifully. Some scenes are kind of like, you know, yeah, you're bang average, but for the most part, a lot of the shots for it, awesome, tense moments, good scenes.
Yes. There's some really, really cool looking scenes. Like,
oh, yeah.
The one that jumps to mind, and I'm sure you're thinking the same thing, is the back of the van.
Yes.
That scene was fucking sick. Like, I, you know, that's one of those scenes where you watch it and you're like, I want to know how they did that. You know what I mean?
Even some of the more simple scenes, which I'll get into when we get to the part, but when the attorney or the lawyer is being killed by the Xenobites and it's just her in the hallway and they're just coming slowly. Very simple. Nothing too crazy about the scene, but the way the score builds to it and everything, wow, beautiful. Work with what you got. So let me ask you, are you a Hellraiser fan? Because I'm going to be honest with you. I fucking hate Hellraiser. I do. Listen, I'm going to be that guy. I fucking hate Hellraiser. Pinhead, you're dumb. If you slip and fall, you're dead. All right. Let's just say that right now. Okay. You're dead. You are the walking pincushion.
So I love the gore aspect of Hellraiser and I love the concept. The first movie, I have a very fond memory because the first time I watched it was in college and I had just brought a lovely lady home and she was also into horror and we watched that and that was not the only hell that was raised that night. I'll just leave it at that.
I love it.
But so I have like fond nostalgic memories of that. And also like I remember waking up periodically through that movie in the middle of the night because it was still playing and just seeing like absolutely gruesome shit. And I was like, all right, I'm going back to bed. That's the only one I've seen though. So like, I don't really even have a base of knowledge because I didn't think the first movie was like amazing. Right. Like it didn't blow my mind. I liked the concept. It's one that I really probably should revisit, but you know, all of the 17 reboots, sequels, requels, whatever they are, like none of them appealed to me.
I'm going to tell you right now, I just found out recently, during Spooky Space September, I found out that Hellraiser has gone to space.
Yes, I actually also heard about that. I feel like every good horror franchise, eventually you have to bring them to space. We got Leprechaun in space, we got Jason X, and now we got Hellraiser in space. Where's Freddy?
I mean, technically, he could always be in... Oh, he could always be in space, maybe. But no, bring him into space. Goddamn. Yeah. You know, Michael Myers... here you go, guys. You're getting some Michael Myers content. in Halloween 6, they make a joke on the radio about... I heard Michael Myers was put on a rocket and sent to space. Because that was actually a pitch about putting Michael Myers into space during the when they were coming up with the ideas for the movie.
I still love
oh my God, what's that fucking director's name? Quentin Tarantino's pitch for Halloween 6 was Michael Myers and the Man in Black going on a fucking road trip across the East Coast murdering people.
Wait, who's the Man in Black?
It's the whole Cult of Thorn thing. Shout out to Myers Month, go check it out, guys. But it's
okay, gotcha.
It's The Man in Black is Dr. Wynn, who was Dr. Loomis's employer in the first Halloween movie. You never see him again until they start the Cult of Thorn shit. And then you find out in Halloween 6 that he was the Man in Black, some shadow figure from a secret Cult of Thorn, who then was
trying to influence Michael at a young age and then transfer evil from Michael Myers over to the other kid whose name I don't remember. And it was just something that they made up as they went along.
Okay. Interesting.
But pretty much he's a cult member, long story short. And yeah, his Quentin Tarantino, who claims he was going to be doing this. First of all, Tarantino claims everything.
Yeah. He really does.
I remember him saying about, I was supposed to make a James Bond movie, but then they fired this person. You were never supposed to make a James Bond movie. Never.
There was another one that he was saying that he was supposed to be involved in, and then it never happened.
Oh, I forget, because that one was fucking wild.
Yeah, I'll Google it, but I do have a quick question for you, yeah. Unrelated to Quentin Tarantino. You've seen Halloween Ends, yeah?
Yes.
Okay. Hellraiser or Halloween Ends?
Hellraiser.
Same.
Hellraiser.
Texas Chainsaw
Massacre remake over Halloween Ends.
Oh, yeah. Like, I honestly... Okay, I actually really had fun with that Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake.
Oh, I thought it was ridiculous. I fucking love that movie.
See, that's the kind of ridiculous horror that I'm cool with.
I'm here for that.
I just feel like Hellraiser was, like, a lot more compelling. And, like, Halloween Ends tried really hard to be super serious and was not scary. And I did not take it seriously.
That's the next batch of for Myers Month that we're doing is the 2018, the Kenny Powers era. The Kenny Powers timeline. We're going eastbound and down on that shit.
It would have been better if he was in the last one. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I was there for it. If he was there, I probably would have enjoyed it 10 times more. I will say now, spoiler for when we get to that, when we do review that, I don't think the concept for Halloween Ends is bad. I think if you take out Michael Myers and take out Laurie, it's actually a pretty decent story. If you take the two of them out, it's pretty decent. Change some things around to make the Michael Myers figure some killer, some urban legend killer, who you don't know about until you start watching the movie and you only find out about from the townsfolk. So all you know is that there's this killer who's haunted the town for years, and then you put the pieces together. That's the person that whatever the kid's name, Corey, ends up running into. Then, cool. Would have worked. Fine.
Yeah. No, I agree. I honestly, and, you know, shame on the marketing department for billing that movie as something it wasn't. Like, had they billed it for what it was, I feel like people would have had a less visceral reaction to it.
It was Halloween, My Childhood Ends.
It was Halloween, My Love for the Franchise Ends.
Oh, and that ended. Oh, it fucking ended.
All right, back to a movie that's better. Let's talk some Hellraiser.
Let's talk some Hellraiser. So, how did you like the new Pinhead? Because I enjoyed it. I mean, I personally didn't understand the big hype. Everyone was like, oh, yeah, they made Pinhead a girl. I'm like, cool. Y'all know Pinhead's not really in the first Hellraiser either.
Yeah, honestly, Pinhead I felt like was very, like, menacing. And, like, the original Pinhead I also felt like was, like, pretty much, like, androgynous, right? Like, didn't really even have a gender. Like, had masculine features, but, like, it was like a fucking demon. You know what I mean? Like, it's not a man or a woman.
Yeah, if anything, I think the only reason that we even assigned him a gender was because of, like, the more masculine features. But in the end of the day, there's Cenobites. A gender doesn't matter to them. They're all pretty fluid. I mean,
the only people it matters to is the people making fucking hentai about them getting their cheeks clapped by Pinhead.
Oh, yeah, whoever's getting pinned down.
Also, I found the movie. It was supposed to be a rated R Star Trek film that Tarantino was going to make.
I am so curious on how that would go. Okay, I'm actually here for that one. Yeah, bring it on.
That's one. All right, like, why'd you take this from us?
Yeah, what did we ever do to you?
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you what, I like the new Star Trek movies are fucking banging. Dude, I got into Star Trek when that happened.
Yeah, dude, same here. I'm glad we're on the same page about that, because, like, I didn't dislike Star Trek, but, like, those new movies came out, and I was like, this is actually pretty sick. And that's a franchise where, like, they should have made a shit ton of those films, but they made, like, three.
Yeah, they did the three, Beyond, Into Darkness, and the first one. Like, I always remember this, just the trailers to the first Star Trek movie, and I'm like, I'm sorry, is this a show I've never watched before? Like, my man's screaming, fire everything! And I'm like, oh my god, I got goosebumps and shit.
Yeah.
Dude, yeah, fuck yeah. Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull, put this on.
Yeah,
actually,
no,
I probably
sure.
should have did that, actually, because Crystal Skull was terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was not good.
Shia LaBeouf and gotta... playing fucking Danny Zuko.
Bro, they have a new one coming out, and oh, like the leaks are that they now these are rumors, and I think the director was like, we haven't test screened it, so this is a lie. But the rumor is that there's been multiple test screenings with multiple endings, and all of them, the highest one was 33% approval, and it ended with Phoebe Waller-Bridger putting on the indie hat at the end of the movie. And like I talked with Trent, my co-host, about this, I'm like, it's not even that she would be taking over. It's that anyone would be taking over. Like, they tried this with Shia LaBeouf. It fucking failed terribly. Like, I wasn't even that opposed to Shia LaBeouf doing it, but everyone else was like, fuck this. And so, like, I'm like, why are you trying to pass the mantle on? Like, just do original shit. Like, the movies that have been successful this year, a lot of them, and obviously we're talking about a reboot, so it's kind of ironic, but a lot of them, the ones that are the best, Barbarian.
Yep.
Fucking Pearl,
Black Phone.
X, Black Phone, Smile, Everything Everywhere All at Once. Just some examples. I mean, obviously, a lot of those are horror, but all of those are original concepts, and they're all good because of that. Like, it's just a breath of fresh air to audiences. And
yeah,
so
I don't want to keep seeing the same thing with a slab of paint. And as far as, like, passing the mantle goes, here's a brilliant idea, guys. Instead of passing the mantle to a person who you're setting up to fail because they're never going to fill the shoes, and let's use Indiana Jones as an example there. No matter who you recast as Indiana Jones, no matter who he passes the mantle on, he could break character on screen and be like, guys, I know you're watching this. That's my replacement. And I have full faith in them. They're going to do great for the series going forward. And I want you to support them. Now back to Indiana Jones. It doesn't matter. No, here's what you do. Make the character relevant. Give the character his own movie without having to pass the mantle on. Just fucking spinoff. Just
agreed.
Spinoff. That's
agreed.
It. Just do a spinoff. You don't need to change anything. You don't need to, I'm the new Indiana Jones. No, you're not. You're Indiana Jones' assistant. We loved you in the last movie. We'll watch you do your own adventure. Sure.
Yeah. And honestly, you being like, yeah, I used to work for a great man. He was, like, one of the best that ever lived, and having callbacks like that is honestly more effective than being like, you're the new Indiana Jones.
Right. Yeah, stop passing the mantle on, guys. Make original shit or give a spinoff, and then create original shit from there. Because you're never going to replace the Nazi face-melting thing from Temple of Doom. Or Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah, Raiders. Dude. Also, alert, I'm on beer number 3 now because I literally plan to not drink anything and I'm just having a good time. So here we are.
Yeah, I'm on, I started throwing them. I think I'm on like, let's call this 3. But let's actually get into some Hellraiser.
Yeah.
So, opening of this fucking, guys, we're going to be jumping around a lot. You're familiar with the new format by now. So spoiler alerts, 10 minutes in. Opening. Pretty fucking solid. And I'll be honest with you, I like that first look of the puzzle box. They made that shit look majestic.
Yeah.
Personally, I feel like if I grabbed it, like, oh god, it's the scene where she gets stabbed through the neck. I have it playing in front of me, guys.
Ugh.
They made it look majestic as shit, like a heavenly item.
Dude, yeah. I, like, it's something where if I found it, I would want to solve it. Like,
right.
It would definitely be something I would fuck around with.
Yeah, I'd fuck around and find out.
Yeah, most definitely.
So,
I wanted to say this. So, in terms of direction, like, for this film, thoughts. Because David Bruckner, I'm sure you've seen this, Red Fox, because you like good horror. The Ritual from 2017?
Yes, I did.
I love that movie. I think that movie is highly, highly underrated. It's fantastic. It should be on Netflix for those of you who haven't seen it. He also did a segment from the original VHS film called Amateur Night. Have you seen that one?
From the first VHS, from like the early 2000s or mid-2000s?
Yes. It's, excuse me, it's the one where they pick up the drunk girl.
Oh, yes. Yes, I have. Yes, I have.
She turns out to be a fucking vampire.
Yep. Yes, I have.
That's like one of the best ones from the first film. So I'm happy that he's like getting some love and really, you know, get an opportunity to make his own films. He does have one blemish on his record.
What is it? Oh God.
And
he
again,
was in movie 43.
Oh God, no, that would be so bad. So again, blame the marketing department for marketing this film in a different way than what it was actually intended to be, because the movie's not bad, but it was a huge bait and switch. It's called The Night House. Have you seen that one?
The Night House.
It came out in 2020. It was one of the first like post-COVID films that was released theatrically.
No, and I don't think I saw that one.
In general, people were very positive about it. It wasn't a bad movie. Like, the problem was they marketed it as like it looked fucking terrifying from the trailers. It was barely scary at all. It was entirely a psychological horror, but it really just was not. It wasn't scary. And, you know, like it was a big miss for me, because that was one that I was really excited about. And again, I would honestly probably still recommend people watch it because I thought it was good, but just go into it understanding that it's not actually scary.
I'll add that to my list, actually.
Yeah, so I feel like this director is definitely, David Bruckner is definitely on the come up right now. And I'm really interested to see like what his next property is that he does, because I guess he was originally going to be involved with the Halloween reboot. We're like all about this Halloween.
Oh my God, I gotta give the people what they want.
Yeah, dude. So I found that interesting that like he ended up bailing in 2015. Or excuse me, I'm sorry, it's not Halloween. I mixed it up. Another big guy in a mask. The Friday the 13th reboot that they were going to do back in 2015, but obviously all the legal purgatory that it's been in caused that not to happen. So just a little background on David Bruckner. I feel like that's always – I always like to like look into the directors of these horror films ever since I started podcasting, because you can definitely trace a line from like their first work to like their new stuff, and you can really – you can catch some great films that are underhyped because of that.
Yeah, I'm actually gonna check that movie out. Just add it to my list. Cause I don't mind psychological horror. I prefer that over the whole elevated horror thing. Oh God, I'm not getting into the. I'm not doing the elevated horror shit again. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I get dragged. So if someone tricks me once an episode into this shit. Back in the Hellraiser, David Bruckner's film. Yeah, that opening, solid. Fucking puzzle box looks majestic. I would fuck around and find out. 10 out of 10. We meet Vault, who's a fucking strange billionaire and whatnot. He comes into play later. But let's talk about our main girl, Riley, because I fuck with Riley. Dude, I kind of fuck with her. She gets a little flat on me sometimes. She does. But, like, I feel
she's
like...
She's probably the strongest actress in the film.
Yes. Yes. There's only one or two scenes where I feel like she delivers very flat, and I think you're supposed to, like, remember that she's a recovering drug addict.
Yes.
Like, and also, a lot of people were saying, too, that this movie is, and I'm going to say this now, a lot of people said this movie was supposed to be a fucking symbolism for drug addiction and whatnot, or a metaphor for drug addiction. It's not. It is absolutely not. Her drug problem doesn't come into play past the first beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
Only difference is it becomes an ex machina for why her friends don't believe her, because they think that she's spiraling. But that's the extent of it. Nothing with what she's going through is a symbolism of or a metaphor for recovering from drugs. It just isn't that. Kudos for trying to make the connection, but it's not there, guys.
And honestly, I'll give props where props are due. I love being like when they use addiction as a plot device, for example, in Fede Alvarez's 2013 Evil Dead.
Yes.
That fucking played. Like,
right.
her having withdrawals and them being like, you're literally insane right now because you're withdrawing from heroin. And then it turns out that they had unleashed a demon. I thought that played really well. Now, they don't do it to that extent in this film. It's like you said, they really use it just at the beginning.
And then it's a plot device later on to like explain, or not to explain, but to try to find reasoning for why she's acting the way she's acting.
Yeah.
But it goes right out the window as soon as they see the Cenobite, so.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's funny because my co-host Trent, he always says, he's like, bro, I'm like so over the trope of like all this bad shit's happening to someone, like very clearly something supernatural, and everyone's just like, oh, no, you're crazy. Like, just don't believe you. Like, even the people that trust you the most, like the closest people in your life, they just don't believe you. And he's like, I'm just over that. And this movie definitely does that. In the beginning, it makes more sense why they don't believe her.
Right.
But as it goes on, it just kind of doesn't. But can we step back for a second to that opening scene?
Yes.
I love that it builds the tension of what the Cenobites are going to look like in this new film by having the off-screen death of Joey getting fucking lit up by chains and yanked across the room. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, everything with those chains, incredible.
They look so good.
Like, you know what it made me want? I don't know why. When I was rewatching the film earlier, it made me want to rewatch the movie See No Evil.
Yes, dude.
Dude, that's such a good fucking movie. And all I kept thinking of was, oh, man, Kane somewhere on the other side of that chain.
Yeah, yeah. Dude. Just burst through the drywall at some point. Oh, like, I fuck with that movie. That I feel like so we good. Like we like all of these like ridiculous slashers in the mid-2000s.
Dude, I always bring it up, too, with that movie. Like, one of the most unique ways to get around the whole, well, why doesn't anyone just call for help? The one girl had a phone in that movie. And then when everyone else realizes that she's had a phone this whole time, like, call the cops. Kane shows up, shoves the phone down her throat.
Yeah.
There you go. Perfect.
Yep.
Perfect.
Yep.
It wasn't a, oh, man, there's no cell phone service. My battery died. The screen is broke. Nope. Kane's like, I got you. Bang. Right down your throat. Open wide,
baby. He just murdered the person who had the phone and buried it inside her body.
There you go. Hey, you want to make that phone call? Go ahead. Cut her open. Show John Kramer that you're fucking really ready to play a game.
Yeah. Fuck around, find out.
Yeah. So we meet Riley, our main girl. I love her. And like I said, we're going to jump around a lot. Chris, when they're breaking into that safe, I just want to let you know the inner alleged criminal in me hated this. Hated this. That is not how you crack open a safe. You break the one thing that activates the safe to unlock.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And with a fucking hammer. Is that how easy it is? Because I'll start committing crimes allegedly tomorrow.
Like, I'm not going to lie. I feel like, and again, this is going to be me revising what the script should have been. I feel like it would have been more realistic to have, like, modern-day thieves as the main characters of this film. And it's like, hey, we got a line on, like, a shipment of, you know, ancient archaeological artifacts that we, you know, we've already fenced. Like, we have a guy who can fence it. And, like, we're going to go in and make it, like, a heist movie that turns into a horror film. Like, that would have been fucking...
Don't
Breathe. Yeah. No, exactly. Don't Breathe played well because of that. Because it had, like... Halfway through the movie, that movie pivots entirely into something completely different. And it works. It really works. So, I thought the idea of them breaking in was good. But what heroin addicts are going to a fucking shipping container and stealing archaeological artifacts? Like, that is not what heroin addicts are fucking stealing and fencing.
No, they're not fencing that. Also, speaking of that, they made such, like... When you first meet her boyfriend, whose name I will get to at some point, when you first meet him, her brother's so, like, against her seeing him and all, like, oh, you shouldn't have met some guy through recovery, blah, blah, blah. Yep. But then you see his house, and he's got a pinball machine. I'm like, bitch!
Yeah, this dude's chill as fuck.
Listen, his apartment better than yours, so maybe you're just feeling some type of way, like...
I know. And also, like, from the opening scene to where we first meet Riley and her family and also her boyfriend, excuse me, that's like a 6-year jump, which
yes,
is weird when it comes back because, I mean, again, jumping ahead, fucking Vaught, like, he's been in that contraption for 6 years.
And not just that, it took you 6 years to find someone to go and do this?
Yeah, it took you 6 years to convince a drug addict to convince another drug addict to come and try to steal something that you basically gave them all of the clues to steal so that they could buy more drugs. Like, no, that's just not, that makes no sense. And also, why was there the time jump? Why did we need 6 years of that?
This could have been a week later.
I know. Yeah, that's exactly where I'm at. Like, the 6 year time period made no sense on, like why did the writers pick that? And I'm not just like tearing it apart to tear it apart. It's just, it makes sense.
There's only one person that the time jump actually affected, and that's the lawyer. That's it. Just to show that the lawyer's in bad health. She could have been in bad health a week later. You know how fast you can catch a cold and die?
Yep, I'm with you. Yeah, so I had to point that out because I did think that was really strange where I'm like, okay, 6 years later. And then at the end of the movie, sometimes like in movies, there's like that one detail that they share. And then like you get to the end of the movie and you're like, what did that have to do with anything?
I just figured it out. Actually, ooh, why tell it was me. 6 years. It was 6 years. 6 months on the 6 hour, 666, baby.
Also to party get the devil, the moon bitch. And everything.
Oh, yeah, Mercury was in retrograde, drinking Gatorade, and then all of a sudden these guys came to his aid. You heard it here first, folks. Oh, let's talk about the park scene though.
So when she's on the merry-go-round?
Yeah, because she keeps the what is it called? Pandora's box, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, that's called Pandora's box.
Yeah.
The puzzle box.
Yeah.
She keeps the Gucci Rubik's Cube. And that's that park scene where she's like spinning around and shit on the carousel.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Love that fucking shot so much. Because the whole
you
time,
you see Pinhead at one point, right? Like flash into view.
Not Pinhead. You see the other one. The one with the hood.
Is it the Chatterer?
Not the Chatterer. You actually, oh, okay. No, you don't see Pinhead. You don't see Pinhead. You see, you see one of the other ones, but like you see them just like flash by and all, because mm-hmm. this is the same scene. So I'm just going to run through the park scene here. That whole shot though, where it's spinning, where the camera's spinning.
Yeah.
Perfect. Perfect. Shout out to the intern who was told to go to a park and put a camera on the fucking, put a camera on that and spin it just slowly.
Yeah.
She figures out the puzzle box here. She starts playing with it.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the thing where his plan is, because Vault's plan, and this isn't picking apart the movie. This is just Vault being a short-minded person.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a dig at the movie. It's Vault's actual character. I want to preface that because I'm going to hit him really hard later in the fucking episode. But your whole plan based around these two recovering addicts figuring out the box. What if she was, and she got high right before the scene. What if she just dropped this? Your whole plan's gone. Like, what if she just stumbled and dropped this thing? And that was it. Because even if someone else picked it up. Okay, the point was you had her do all. You had her figure it out. Had him help, you know, cause the deaths of people with it. Like, everything involving the puzzle box getting back to him was completely coincidental.
Yeah.
Even her pricking her finger. She sticks her finger in the hole. That's what she said. And, like, barely misses the blade. And then that's, like, what if that was it, though? Like, what if her brother didn't accidentally get fucking shanked by this thing? Because until someone gets shanked, the puzzle doesn't start.
No, exactly. And, like, when she did solve it, they were, like, demanding that she choose another sacrifice because she, like, somehow avoided being cut, which is ridiculous because she was so fucked up. And, like, everyone else just gets absolutely, like, fucking maimed, basically.
Maimed or accidentally stabbed in the back by it.
Yeah. And it's interesting to think about because, like, again, he's not leaving his house because he's terrified that he's going to get murdered. He's basically built a fortress against the Cenobites. Fortress Pier, or Fortress Prison, technically. But
oh, yeah, the deluxe Rubik's Cube.
Yeah.
I love it. I'll tell you what, too. As far as the design of the puzzle box goes, I'm sorry, that's a Versace fucking Rubik's Cube right there. That shit is awesome. I would wear that around my neck.
That's some fucking Yu-Gi-Oh! Millennium Puzzle shit.
That's why she survived. She had the heart of the cards and it guided her.
What up, Night Squad? Red Fox here to let you know it's time to give the Covenant back their bomb. The first season of Paramount Plus series Halo, based on the Xbox game franchise, is now available on DVD, Blu-ray, and 4K UHD. With every episode from season 1 and over 5 hours of special features, see Master Chief, Cortana, and the other Spartans of Silver Team take on humanity's greatest threat, the Covenant. Get your DVD, Blu-ray, or 4K UHD copy today from Paramount Home Entertainment.
I know this is super random, but I was at a concert last weekend, and I saw a dude in, like, a half robe, like, one of, like, the sand robes with the hoods, and he literally had, like, the full-size Millennium Puzzle hanging around his neck, and I was like, bro, like, you didn't have to go that hard. That's dope as hell.
Yeah, Jesus Christ, dude. Save some women for the rest of us mortals out here just mm-hmm. trying to survive.
Exactly, bro. Oh. I'm about to give you the freaking Cenobite puzzle and have you get wrecked by it and take your fucking Millennium Puzzle.
Like, here, hold this. Thanks. So, oh yeah, her brother, complete accident. How do you like the Xenobites designs? Because I thought they were cool as shit.
I thought they looked great, dude. And, like, there's a particular scene with Pinhead where she, like, takes a pin out of her head.
Yes.
And I felt like that looked so good. And it just that whole scene just flowed really, really well. It was very disturbing. It was, like, kind of gruesome.
And it was
gruesome,
on that great scene, too, of fucking, in the van, in the back of the van, near the end of the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's the first time you actually end up seeing Pinhead. Like, the Xenobites, I thought they were cool shit. I thought the whole bathroom sequence, too, when her brother gets nicked by it.
Mm-hmm.
And all, first of all, I'm a huge fan of blood coming out of a bathtub, a toilet, or a sink. Anything in the kitchen with blood, I'm here mm-hmm. for it. I don't know why. It's so fucking cool. And it was suspenseful as shit, too. I love every time the Xenobites show up, you see the walls start to break apart in the background.
The practical design on the sets looks amazing for any time the Xenobites come into frame. Like, that is by far my favorite part of this film. Is you can tell it's practical and it looks awesome. Like, it literally looks like some, like, Indiana Jones, like, temple shit where it's just like wall rolls out and boom, blue light. Like, yeah, like, okay. And it, like, the most creative use of it is definitely the van, because, like, that stretch scene where she just keeps getting further and further away from the people in the front of the van is insane. Yes.
Dude, that shot from the fucking dashboard back.
Dude.
Gorgeous. Yeah. Fucking gorgeous.
Yeah. That's like, I mean, out of the entire film, that is by far the dopest shot. Like, if you're a horror fan and you like practical effects, like, you got to give credit where credit's due. This movie does a good job with that.
That shot, the scene, the fucking, literally that whole piece. If you're on the fence about this movie and you want some kind of visual proof of, like, if it's worth watching, just watch that scene, because it has it all. The first Pinhead reveal. The scene Chris mentioned about Pinhead taking the pin from her forehead.
Oof.
The fucking van. All that is in one scene, and it sets the fucking tone for the rest of the movie. Because the movie, too, I think this movie has brilliant pacing. I don't think this movie sleeps at all, minus the beginning part, which you had to do of, oh, this is happening. I don't believe you. Something crazy happens. I probably believe you now.
So, I first of all, totally agree about the pacing. Like, the third act, like, the second and third act are great. First act, slower. My only real issue with the story of this film is I wish it at times it feels like The Ring, where it's like, oh, we're like, one, I gotta prove that this is happening, and two, I gotta investigate how to stop it. And, like, I kind of just wish that they would have, like, rolled through the, like, I don't know how they would have done it, but I'd wish that it had been very brief about them recognizing that they had, like, accidentally unleashed demons.
Right. Or figure it out as you go along.
Yeah, because, like, positioning it like a mystery in the first act, when everybody who's watching it is clearly there to see Pinhead and the Cenobites Like, we know. Right. Like, even if you haven't seen Hellraiser, you still know that there are demons involved. And you can make assumptions right off the bat that the puzzle is how they come. So, like, you don't need to do, like, a whole, oh, man, like, time to figure all this shit out. It's like, no, I don't want any of that. I want a fucking brutality fest.
Right, and I don't want to, exactly, I don't want a five-minute exposition dump of them figuring it out to then go to find clues to confirm what they already hypothesized. Mm-hmm. Don't need that. I would have rather them to just go find the clues before speculating it all. Like, oh, shit, this is it. See, guys, proof, bet. Now people start dying. Cool. But I do agree. Second and third act, mwah. Keeps going. Yeah. Steady pace.
And I would even say, like, okay, now I'm harping on it because I think it's a good idea. But if we went back to the thieves, like the artifact thieves, like selling it to their fence, for example, and they're trying to move it. And the fence is like, oh, there's like some interesting mythology to this, and explains it to them. And they're like in the process of like, you know, one of them, same character, Riley, just doesn't get fucking nicked. And therefore, like, they're, like, kind of hovering around her, trying to stay with her until she picks a sacrifice. Like, you could totally have tied that all in and given the backstory of it without them having to do the whole mystery thing, which I feel like honestly detracts from the film as a whole.
Right, right. And you know what, too? Because, like, so let's move forward, because I'm actually getting to a part where I have something for that.
Mm-hmm.
That, because I agree with you, and I'm glad you thought of that too. So they end up going, she ends up explaining it to her friends. They don't believe them. They just want to know where her brother went. She goes to investigate the mansion, Casa de la Cube, if you will. And her friends come to go find her and shit. And this is where we find out all the exposition about the box as well, like the Leviathan, which is God, and all the different choices that you could have made if you figure out the box, blah blah blah. So we find out the box works for sacrifices to get past the different parts of the puzzle. So you solve it, Blade comes out, you got to kill someone, and bam. But see, my thing is, you have to kill them, or you only have to cut them? Only cut them, right? Because she only really, like, okay, only cut them. So but here's what you get. So if you solve all, I believe it's 8 or 9 of the
configurations or whatever.
Configurations. Then Sky Daddy shows up and he gives you a gift.
Sky Daddy, aka Leviathan. Now, like, what I'm interested to see too is, like, you could totally make other movies about this and show me the different configurations. Like, I'm interested to see. I mean, we've seen a couple of them, right? Like, we get a couple in this film. But, like, I would love to see the differentiation and really build out on the lore of that. I think that's really interesting, and they've done a good way of, like, laying the foundation for that. Like, there really could be multiple spinoffs or sequels or whatever to this film, and they could double down on the shit that worked and get the stuff that didn't work out of it.
Perfect idea. The movie? Great. Here's something else they could have did, though. There is 8 configurations. They could have done a 10-episode series, hour-long episodes.
Ooh.
First one, pilot, introducing the mythos of it. Every episode following is a different configuration. Even title. Literally, title each episode from 2 to 7, or 2 to 9, every episode titled the name of the configuration. Make it so that way the puzzle box is solved by someone who is going through what that configuration represents every episode, and have it being passed down, characters being interchanged here and there, coming back towards the finale. Make it so that way they all end up meeting up at the end, or even have that person being the sacrifice of the episode and all, but following their story through the configuration, following the puzzle box, 10 episodes down to the finale where Sky Daddy shows up.
I love it. And also, the best part about that is you could have main characters from one episode survive in 1 or 2, even more than that, and have them die off, or side characters take the main stage. Yes. And it really would be super, super cool. And then, hell, dude, you do well with that first season of those 10 or 11 episodes, and you end it on a cliffhanger, and the next one's a fucking movie. Like, let's go. Let's ride.
Oh, my God. Perfect. It would have fit so well as a movie if you wanted to do one that breaks down the mythos. Because think of how cool it would have been to see, like, one, you get an option for more Cenobites to appear. You're figuring out the mythos as you go along. There's characters who survive episode one, two, three, figuring the shit out, and then come episode four. Turns out they're the ones who solved the landment portion of...
Oh, the lamentation, yeah.
Yeah, like, they're the ones who solved it. Even so... Oh, perfect. The lamentation one, which is suffering. So, you could have had it where that person who solved that, their significant other was the first one to go. They were dealing with the grief and loss, accidentally, indirectly solved the puzzle from lamentation, and now they die as well. Something like that.
There's a lot of potential there, and I'm honestly kind of surprised because, man, you think they did the movie because they were worried that maybe this was not going to be, like, people weren't going to be into Hellraiser like they are Friday the 13th or Halloween or...
I think so. Scream. I always say, too, Hellraiser, like, it has its place for people who like it, but, like, honestly, Hellraiser's a lot more glorified in visual media than it is, like, in Hellbound Heart, the Clive Barker novel. Pinhead is a reference, and he's only in it, like, maybe a little bit. The Cenobites as well, but, like, Pinhead is more so glorified through the films. I never thought he stuck on. I honestly, I don't want to say hot take, but, like, I put him in the same tier as Leatherface, where it's like he didn't stand the test of time.
Yeah, like, iconic, but not to the extent of, like, the greatest. Yeah, like, he would be like a B-lister.
Right, and there's nothing wrong with that. Respectable. But your series never continued forward in the way Jason, Michael, Freddy, and even Chucky and Scream, I like to throw one there as well.
Yeah. Yeah, like, yeah, I would agree with all of those that you threw out. Like, they've all definitely stood up better than Hellraiser.
Yeah, I mean, Hellraiser went to space. So did Jason, but, like...
But you know, Jason in space was dope, and Hellraiser in space was probably ass garbage.
I cannot wait to watch that fucking movie.
Yeah, you guys will let me know how that is, because yeah, there's, like, what? How many sequels are there, even?
For Hellraiser, there is...
Like, six?
Six or seven. And at one point, Pinhead's not even in it. There's another point where it's, like, pretty much a BDSM film, and Hellraiser is a piece of ice that kills someone.
The fucking seventh one is called Hellraiser Deader. D-E-A-D-E-R. Deader.
That's worse than my grammar, trying to pronounce cinematographical. I'm surprised I just remembered it.
Now you've got me, though. I will say I'm kind of interested in watching these just to see how bad they are.
Just going to watch. But you know what? Shout out to our friends. Our friends Cast Me to Hell. They did a brilliant fucking... They made me more interested in Hellraiser through their reviews of this movie and the original, if I'm not mistaken. Because when Hellraiser came out, everyone was doing them. But I remember Cast Me to Hell put out a banger Hellraiser episode. And I forget which one it was. Which one of their episodes it was. But really made me think, like, maybe I'd appreciate it more now than I did then. Like, still be shit, but, like, would enjoy it for its shit. I mean, like, am I making sense here? Like, there's movies that aren't good, but you still enjoy them.
Oh, dude, for sure. And then there are, like, there are movies that are bad that you don't enjoy, right? Like, there is definitely a line. Like, a movie can be bad and still entertain, but it can also be bad and not entertain, and that's where it's like, okay, that's unforgivable.
So, and, okay, real quick before we jump back into the movie, what is, to you, a horror movie that was so bad you weren't even entertained?
Ooh. Damn. I mean, honestly, Halloween Ends would be a perfect new example. I, like, straight up walked out of that movie disappointed, was, like, sad because I thought it sucked. Outside of that, I would maybe say, like, Like, see, a lot of times, like, sequels, and it's not even, like, horror movies, even necessarily, that it falls into. Like, I think of Jurassic World 2, Fallen Kingdom, as, like, an absolute abomination comparatively to the first one.
Yeah, or no, even, like, not good. Like,
Starship Troopers 2, compared to the first one. Like, just such a fall from grace, where, like, it's a movie that I fucking love, compared to something that I'm like, I would never recommend this to anybody.
I'm looking on my Letterboxd right now to find this fucking movie that I watched that was, here it is, finally, okay, here it is. Have you ever seen the movie Girl?
Girl.
With Bella Thorne.
I don't think so, no.
Okay, I'm gonna say right now, I don't know if it was meant to be a horror movie, but that's what the trailers all came out for. I have, like, maybe 5 movies on my Letterboxd that I rated literally a star or half a star, whatever the lowest it could be, half a star.
Yeah.
So here's how it goes. As far as worst horror movies I've ever seen, it goes Girl, which is Bella Thorne, and I can't even describe the movie. She comes back to some shitty ass town she grew up with to settle her father's estate, and it's a bunch of, like, locals only trying to kill her, and it's supposed to be a mystery, and it's some of the worst acting you've ever seen, with the worst plot line you've ever seen, and everyone only liked it because, oh, well, Bella Thorne did it. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
Bella Thorne should have died in that movie. And then Midsommar is my other one. I'm not getting into it again, but Midsommar and Girl are 2 of, like, 5 half-star movies that I've ever done it. Holmes and Watson is another one, just so you know the tier that I put these movies on.
Okay, yeah. Honestly, yeah, there's, like, very few that I hate so much that I'm like, I fucking despise it. Like, for example, like, I saw Lamb, which is an A24 horror movie, and I personally like A24. Like, Midsommar is, like, not as good as, like, Hereditary, but I love Ari Aster as a director. I just, like, I fuck with what he does. However, I totally understand why people wouldn't like it, and I don't think it's scary at all. But Lamb, like, cinematography was great. Tension, score, acting, all good. Just not a good written movie. And it's just was not fun to watch. It wasn't scary. It wasn't really disturbing. It was just really fucking weird. You know, so, like, that would be one that jumps to mind. Oh, dude, okay, I have a perfect example. I'm sorry. I don't know why I wasn't thinking about this. Fucking Conjuring Devil Made Me Do It was absolute fucking trash.
My first, like, Conjuring movie I've ever seen, too.
Yo, let that be your last Conjuring movie. Like, I think Conjuring 1 is, like, okay. Like, I didn't think it was bad. I don't think it's good. People rate that as, like, one of their favorite horror movies. I'm like, you are on fucking crack, dude. So, yeah. Conjuring Devil Made Me Do It, absolute ass garbage. I cannot believe, like, I tried to give the Conjuring franchise another chance with that film, and I was like, this was the wrong one to watch, because I heard some of the spinoffs. I heard The Nun was actually kind of scary, so.
Yeah, I like the Curse of La Llorona, but most of the time I grew up hearing that story, being Spanish and all, you have to be told that story, because, you know, what Spanish kid doesn't want to go to bed with fucking nightmares? that was cool. I actually... Funny you mentioned with The Conjuring, because I'm currently, like, half invested in the universe watching some of the movies. We were trying to find, like, a good, like, horror series to watch. And I don't fuck with El Spooky shit, okay?
Yeah.
I don't. Ghosts, we don't do that. We're Spanish. We don't fuck around with those. You can't box it, you can't fight it, you can't throw hands with it, you can't mix mittens. We don't want to fuck with it. But we're kind of, like, going through some of the Conjuring stuff now. We're watching Annabelle this weekend.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And I already know it's going to fuck me up inside, but that's okay.
Yeah, I watched a little bit of the first one. To me, personally, dolls have never scared me, even if they're demonically possessed. So, like, Annabelle, even Chucky. Like, I like Chucky. Don't get me wrong.
Chucky's,
like,
cool.
I'll enjoy the film, but it doesn't scare me at all, you know? And, like... Even if they tried to make it really scary, I still probably wouldn't.
All right, but hear me out now. What if they just remade Hellraiser, but the Cenobites were little dolls? little itty bitty dolls, itty bitty centibites that turn you into wood and then pull you apart splinter by splinter, but you feel it all. There we fucking go.
Dude, what is that tiny, tiny doll horror movie? I know Josh and Miles have done it.
Dead Silence?
The Puppeteer? Puppet maybe? Master? Puppet Master, that's what it is.
Puppet Master, the Littlest Reich.
Dude, yes, the Littlest Reich. Oh my god, it's bro, crazy. Yes.
Those Puppet Master movies are wild, because they're like, am I supposed to feel bad for the Nazi doctor here? Because I feel like I'm not supposed to be feeling bad for the Nazi doctor here.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, Puppet Master, I feel like, is in the same vein as Hellraiser. Like, and I definitely think Hellraiser is like...
hands.
Yeah, like, I think Hellraiser has, like, a better concept, but they definitely feel like they, like, came up together and were best friends growing up through school.
Yeah, yeah. Honestly, if we break those tiers like that, Hellraiser, Texas Chainsaw Massacre is the popular one of the group. But then you got Hellraiser, you got Leprechaun, you got...
Yeah, Leprechaun too, for sure.
Oh, yeah, you got fucking... the doll movie we literally just said, Puppet Master. Puppet Master. That's the one right there. Like, you got those four, and I'm sure there's one or two that's gonna, like, jump to mind, but like, you have those guys, and then you got, like, they're the junior varsity team.
Yeah,
then you got the varsity right there. But yeah, you're on the team, so.
I mean, honestly, Wrong Turn would probably be in that group as well.
Yeah, I would put Wrong Turn. Wrong Turn's been around for way longer than people fucking understand.
Yeah, the first one, actually, I thought was a pretty damn good slasher. But then, you know, they made like five or six more, and it got... The entire series gets dropped into the freaking Puppet Master group. What do you think about, like, where would you say, like, the Saw movies are at? Would they be in the A-list? Or between B and A?
They'd be in, like, the A-minus. They're the backup for the A-list. And I would actually even throw Final Destination into that mix as well.
I agree, dude. I love Final Destination.
The backups for it. Like, and again, all this is commendable shit, but, like, they're not there. But they came up around the same time. Like, early 2000s horror is a fucking spectacle, honestly. I like back then when they used to just... What's your idea? A killer video game. Fuck it, brilliant, print it.
Yeah.
And then we get Stay Alive.
Look at The Grudge or The Ring as... You know, those are solid B-listers.
Yes.
I think maybe The Ring could push into A, but, like, the sequels were just not good.
I will say, Ring with an S... The newer one that came out with in, like, the mid-2010s?
Yeah.
Surprisingly not a bad movie. That was actually surprising. It was pretty cool because you, at this point, you understand the concept. You get Samara's powers. You understand the shit. It's really not that bad. In the opening scene where the ring thing plays over on an airplane, awesome opening. Damn, I'm going to watch it.
Believe it or not,
movie,
I haven't seen that one. And it's really The Ring is like one of my original horror movies that really, really got me. So,
oh, okay. I got a quick fun story. And I swear to God, guys, we'll go back to Raising Hell. My uncle, many, many years ago, when The Ring first came out, when he used to drink, he went to go see it. And it was different times back then. Like, he was like drunk as shit in the theater. And when he came back, he was not right for, like, the next couple of days because he truly thought he was going to die in 7 days. He was making phone calls and all. Like, he was trying to write a will. Like, he was, like, trying to, like, sell stock, shit like that. Like, he was legitimately prepping for death.
Jesus.
Dude, and they saw it opening night, which is the fun part. So it wasn't like, you know, someone who seen it beforehand could show that they survived past 7 days. And he was legitimately terrified. I got to text Lou and let him know, remind him about the time his dad thought that The Ring was going to kill him.
Bro, I mean, it was effectively scary. I don't care what anybody says. Like,
oh, yes.
I feel like people watch it with, like, you know, hindsight's 20/20. People watch it now and they're like, oh, that wasn't even scary. It's like, nah, that was like an incredibly effective, scary film, which is why I'm able to relate more to, for example, The Exorcist. Love the movie. Don't find it personally scary.
Not at all.
Because we had, like, what, 20 plus years of horror that built upon the foundations as that film did. But if I had watched that day one, yeah, that shit would have fucked me up.
Yeah, yeah. The Grudge did that for me a little bit.
Yeah.
The, like, Grudge I fucked up the hours for me.
For me, The Ring was scarier, but I had friends who we watched The Ring and The Grudge together, and The Grudge was like that film that fucking horrified them. And
that's a poll right there I'm going to throw up to. The Ring or The Grudge, which was scarier?
Dude, I would love to see, like, all of these franchises, now that we've been talking about, I would love to see them positioned, like, S tier down to the fucking Puppet Master tier.
You know what? Okay, all right. I'm going to take that and I'm going to run with it. I'll put that in December's lineup for the end of the year. We're going to fucking tier list every horror movie that someone comments on the post, and I'll leave that post pinned. And literally, you can comment, find the post on Twitter, guys, Super/Pod, and I will literally put the post there and give me a horror movie. Everyone gets one. Tell them, Spider-Man. Everyone gets one.
Everybody gets one.
Thank you, Spider-Man. And I will block them into tiers. I'll do the standards, the ones we've been talking about. But, like, yeah, any other movies that they put in there, and I'll put them into fucking tiers. God, that's going to break my heart and piss a lot of people off. I cannot wait.
Oh, for sure. I can't wait for people to be mad when I rank I Know What You Did Last Summer above, like, fucking, I don't know, Conjuring.
You said over The Conjuring? I'll tell you what, man. Yep. I watched fucking I Know What You Did Last Summer recently, and I forgot that the dude who plays McGlecky, or whatever his name is, the actor from Big Bang Theory.
Oh, yeah.
Jonathan Glecky or whatever. I forgot he was in that movie.
I mean, I Know What You Did Last Summer 1 is a fantastic slasher. Part 2 has some absolutely hilarious moments with, did you know, fucking Jack Black.
Yes. But have you ever seen I'll Always Know What You Did Last Summer?
I have, but yeah. That's the one that I, like, kind of forget exactly what happened.
Everyone does. It's a fucking terrible movie. My God.
Does it still have, who is the main character? Michelle Pfeiffer, maybe?
What's her name?
Is it Buffy?
Was it Buffy?
Am I just, like, throwing out random people and I'm, like, super far off?
Listen, I looked up I Know What You Did Last Summer and a Shawn Mendes song came up, so that's clearly bigger than the movie. You heard it here first.
Jennifer Love Hewitt.
That's Jennifer Love Hewitt. That's right.
Yeah.
Shout out to Miles. The Boob Report just came back, baby. but all right, let's jump back into Hellraiser.
Yeah, for sure.
So
I feel like we could just keep riffing about horror in general.
I'm going to have to bring you one just so we can have an open conversation about horror. There you go, guys. New segment coming onto the show. I'm going to find a way to make an episode where it's just a roundabout about horror.
Love that.
That'll be fucking great. Oh, yeah, let me write that down. talk about horror. I'm going to read that tomorrow and be like, what the fuck were you thinking? which is coincidentally how I come up with a lot of shit. I'm like mid-drunk during an episode. I'm like, that's right there. That's a segment. That's segment a winner right there. Oh, hey, look who survived the episode. That is Raising Hell Part 1. We got Part 2 coming later on this week or whatever time you're listening to it. It should be up on the feed. But we had a great time breaking down the Hellraiser series. We didn't really know much about the series going into it other than this Hulu original one. And, you know, some brief overview of the series growing up and whatnot. Was never a big Hellraiser fan, as you heard in Part 1. But I believe in Part 1 or Part 2, depending on how the hell I edited this. We break into a lot of the lore for Hellraiser and pitch some really cool shit, so check it out. Hellraiser, Raising Hell Part 2, featuring Chris from the Geek Peak podcast, coming soon. Stay spooky, gal. Catch you later.